Well, hallelujah. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. Boy, the singing this morning has been wonderful. All four songs just blessed this old man. I tell you what, I've been blessed. And it's good to be here this morning. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. And I want to say to those that's listening by way of live stream, be sure to share this sermon and share this broadcast. I think it'll be an encouragement to people. I've got something this morning that you need. You need to hear it. It's going to help you. I believe that. I'm glad for the Word of God. It's infallible, inerrant. Amen. Let me say just a couple things. I want you to be much in prayer. I'm going to pray just in a moment for one of our staff members, his dear wife, Mallory Westfall. That's Josh's wife. Mallory went to the hospital yesterday. She needs your prayers. And she's going through some stuff, not COVID-related. It's just some areas going on in her body. Specifically, we want you to pray about her kidneys and her lungs, with some blood clots in her lungs. And you just pray. That young lady, they've been through it. She's been sick on and off for the last 2 months. And I want you to pray. And Brother Mike McClanahan is going to have surgery this tomorrow. And you pray for Brother Mike a little bit after 12 sometime. And you pray. I want to congratulate someone. Garrett Green, you here? That's you. Will you stand? Garrett Green was honored this week, the second team All-State in football. And let's give him a big hand. Amen. Also, on behalf of my family, I want to thank you for praying for my son, James. He got out of surgery well, doing well. And I want to give his wife a congratulations today. She went back to school to further her education. She graduated yesterday, and I'm so proud of her. What a great blessing she is. And both of my in-laws, my daughter-in-law and son-in-law, I don't want to say much good about my son-in-law. He's here today, but I thank God for them. I thank God for the blessing they are in our lives. If you got your Bible, turn to Galatians 6 and stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. I will tell you, you'll get some help this morning if you want help. I'll give you this passage of Scripture. This is one of my four life verses in Galatians chapter number 6. And I want you to look with me. I'll start reading at verse number 1, and I'm going to read down to verse number 10. And I've got a specific thought for you this morning. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What a great verse 2 is. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Boy, we got a lot of our church family hurting today. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 6 said, him that is taught in the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. Let me say it again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, may help me, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, will reap of the flesh, of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now here's my verse today. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We ought to love everybody, but we ought to love our brothers and sisters even more. That's what he's saying. Our Father, help me this morning. As I preach the Word of God, I feel like preaching. I'm glad you woke me up at 2. I've been up all night praying and studying and just meditating on you this morning. And I pray, God, I'll be a blessing to somebody today. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen. It's important that I lay a foundation for this passage of Scripture and this paragraph from the Word of God. This letter of Galatians was not just written to one church. If you read chapter number 1, it was written to all the churches at Galatia. Now, here's what had happened. Paul had established the churches. They were thriving. God was blessing. And then he had to depart. Now, here's what happened. There was some people infiltrated that church. Somebody help me. By false doctrine. If you want to destroy a church, false doctrine will destroy a church. Somebody help me preach. Here's what the problem was. The problem was there were some Judaizers that came in mixing law and grace and saying, oh, somebody help me preach. By the way, friend, they were mixing it up, mixing fruit and the root. The root of salvation is the grace of God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of salvation is good works. But I want you to know something. Paul was warning them about something. And I want to warn you this morning. This is not my message. But I want to warn you about legalism. I want all of you to know that legalism is rotten to the core. And you cannot keep the law and be saved. It's not grace and works. No, salvation is totally by the grace of God. Amen. In chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and being not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I want to tell you, salvation is not a binding thing. Salvation is a liberating thing. And any religion that puts this, to do this or do that, all they're doing is binding you. But I want to tell you, when Christ came into my heart, He set me free. Somebody ought to help me. There's a bunch of fellas in our Baptist ranks. I might as well just add this. This ain't my sermon, by the way. There's some of the favorite, what I call lordship guys. Here's what they say. You got to make Jesus Lord before you can be saved. I want you to know something. He's Lord whether I ask Him to be saved or not. He's Lord, ladies and gentlemen. You don't make Him Lord. You don't have to. Listen to me. He is Lord. You say, Preacher Smith, don't you believe in living a good life? Yes, but not to be saved. But it's under this backdrop. Boy, I'm going somewhere. Y'all just stay with me. It's under this backdrop that Paul was feeling the pressure. This church was feeling the pressure. And then he deals in chapter 5 with the flesh and with the spirit. And I'm going to make a statement. Now, this may seem contradictory to what I just preached. If you're not battling the flesh after you got saved, you're not saved. Somebody help me preach. I don't think y'all got that. If you're not in a spiritual warfare and you're not experiencing a battle against your flesh, you're not saved. I want you to know when God put me, when I got saved and I got put in the family of God, I want you to know I found that it is a battle. Amen. So here's what Paul was contending with. False doctrine from within. And not only that, they started talking ugly about him. Come on, help me. You know what? This church at one time said they'd pluck their eyes out for Paul. Now they turn their back on him. You know what? Here's the thing. When people don't want to hear the true message, their first thing they want to do is shoot the messenger. Somebody help me preach right there. Is that good preaching? See, there is a battle. How many of y'all realize, how many in this room realize you're saved, but you're in a battle? Anybody got in a battle last week? Anybody had the devil work on you last week? Anybody had the flesh work on you last week? Anybody get confronted by this world last week? We all have. And here's what was happening, and I'm ready to preach now. This crowd got tired. This crowd got weary. You know, we've been fighting this virus and fighting all this junk for a while. And some folks have got weary. Somebody help me preach. By the way, here's what I'm preaching on this morning. Don't get tired of doing right. Somebody help me preach. Because right ain't going nowhere. Thank God. And can I raise my hand and tell you one of these days, and I can't wait, that God is going to make everything right. All this confusion in America, all this chaos in America, all this election confusion, all this bitterness that's in our nation. I want you to know something. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He's coming back one day. And I want you to know He's going to make everything right. Amen. As they were singing, Child of God, I say to you, press on. Press on. Don't get tired. Don't get tired of doing right. Let me give you four things and I'll be done quickly. First of all, I notice a scriptural principle. Look at verse 7 and look at verse 8. You won't defy this principle. You can't get beyond this principle. And it is the law of sowing and reaping. Hey man. You know what I want to say to you? Don't you quit until the game's over. Don't you stop until we get home. Don't you throw in the towel now. Don't get into the pity party now. Don't think everybody in the church is against you now. You need to stay for God right now. Because there's a scriptural principle. And that's the law of sowing and reaping. First of all, we need to be aware of the doctrine. Let me say a few things. Just listen to me. You're going to reap what you sow. You sow corn, you're going to reap corn. You sow wheat, you're going to reap wheat. Somebody help me preach. Say your neighbor right now. You're going to reap what you sow. Oh, you didn't say it, did you? Not only will you reap what you sow, but second law is you'll reap more than you sow. How many people in here farm just a little bit? Let me ask you something. When you put that grain of corn in the ground, you expecting one piece to come out? Somebody help me preach. You expect one piece to come out? No, you aren't. You're expecting an ear of corn about that long. Oh. And I'm about ready. By the way, you really want to get close to God, get you a big ear of corn, about a half a pound of butter and a pound of salt. Just put it on and just take off. If you don't get a heart attack, you'll get a blessing. Somebody say amen. see, you'll reap what you sow. You'll reap more than you sow. Listen, you'll reap in proportion of how you sow.
Oh my goodness.
You sow a little, you're going to reap a little. You sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. Somebody help me. That's good preaching, even if I am doing it. Now I want to ask a question. Now look at me, everybody. Y'all on live stream, look at it. Don't you turn off that thing right now, because I'm getting where you live right here. Let me ask you something. If you reap in proportion of how you sow, if every church member was like you, what would they be like? If they attend a church like you attend, how often would they be there? If they gave like you give, how much would they give? Somebody help me. If they worship like you worship, how much glory would God be getting? If they dress like you dress, would they be giving glory to God in the way they look? Boy, it's quiet in here now. And by the way, I want to tell you this. You'll reap after you sow. Somebody help me preach right there. Thank God. Hey, long after John Smith's gone, long after God takes me home, I want you to know there's going to be another generation serving God that I helped bring up. And by the way, after it's all over, my ministry is still bringing forth fruit, still bringing forth something. Let me ask you something. Are you laying some treasures up in heaven? Is there some things you're doing that's affecting the next generation to help them to want to serve God? Amen. Then we need to avoid deception. Look what it said. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Stop being tricked by the devil. Somebody help me preach. We need to acknowledge divinity. God is not mocked. By the way, you sow the Spirit, you'll reap the Spirit. But if you sow to the flesh, how many believe you'll reap to the flesh? I know folks right now, not in church, not near church. The judgment of God is on them right now because they have sown in the flesh. They have lived by the flesh. They live by their own carnal man, and they're out of church. They're not serving God, not in the will of God. You say, why? Because they mock God. Number two. Notice spiritual practices. Help me here. Everybody look at your text with me. I want you to read this with me. Ready? Verse 9. And let us, come on, help me. And let us not be weary in what? Let's do it again. And let us. There you go. You say, well, preacher, I'm tired. I'm wore out. Don't be faint. And don't be weary. You know what that word faint means there? It means to lose heart in well-doing. How many times has the devil come to you and about wore you out, and you said in your spirit, you may not have said it with your mouth, this just ain't worth it. This is just a little too difficult. This is just a little bit frustrating. Am I preaching? You said, this ain't a shout message. Well, it ought to be a shout message. You living for God, it ought to make you shout. What spiritual practice you're talking about? I'm talking about a holy life. If you go back to chapter 5, it says this. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder. How many of you believe that we ought to live a holy life? Not get strung out on drugs. Not be addicted to alcohol. Do you know 1 in 4 men in America are hooked on pornography? I'm talking about living a holy life. I want you to know something. If God's in you, you need to live a holy life. Not to be saved, but to glorify Him. Am I preaching? And then we ought to live a humble life. You know, there's some people think they have arrived. And they are the one. They feel that God is ordained to tell everybody else how it ought to be done. Y'all okay over there? It'd be a happy day in your life that you get off your pride. You have not arrived. I have not arrived. I'm just an old sinner saved by the grace of God. I deserve hell. I deserve to be burned in hell. But thank God for the victory that's in Jesus Christ. I'm not in hell. And we ought to be humble that a God in heaven that would look beyond our fault and see our need. You know what? I'll tell you what. Let me give you this, can I? Y'all want to know what really aggravates me? I'm going to tell you anyhow. It's for somebody that God has saved and put in the work of God, and they say, I got to do this. I have to do this. You're a preacher. You're a deacon. You're a worker in this church. It's not that you have to do it. You get to do it. God Almighty has honored you to be able to serve Him. It's like this. It's like this. Well, they just can't get along without me. God can't get along without me. Yes, He can. Look at me. Yes, He can. What you can't do, you can't get along without Him. Amen. Somebody help me preach right here. We need to be humble people. And then verse 10 in chapter 6, we need to be helpful people. As we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. You know, yesterday, now it's different this year. The food basket thing is different. We had fewer people take part, and it's just because we were careful about this virus. But there was hundreds of people blessed because of this church yesterday and our food pantry yesterday. We need to have a helpful life. And I'm not going to tell you it won't be tiring. Jeff, you know what a lot of people think? All this preacher does is get up here on Sunday morning and preach a half hour, and Wednesday, Sunday night a half hour or 45 minutes, and then on Wednesday night maybe an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, I marked it down last week. I had 31 calls of folks that were desperately in need of your preacher's prayers. I had a dozen or more that said, preacher, I need some guidance on how to get through this problem. And I want all y'all to know something. If you're in this business of helping people, you will get tired once in a while. Because see, there's going to be somebody always that gets angry with you if you don't do it quite the way they think you ought to. Somebody just avoids you. Just say, I ain't going to have nothing to do. I've been in Kroger's and people walk in there and I see people I used to know. Well, they avoid me. I asked my wife, I said, do I have bad deodorant or something? Hold a minute. You may be avoided. You may be abused and you may be attacked, but keep on. Keep it on. Hallelujah. Am I preaching? Now I'm almost done. Stay with me. Go back to the verse. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Thirdly, I see a sovereign promise. In due season we shall reap. How many of y'all, boy, I'm about to get happy. How many of y'all like the shalls in the Bible? Well, let me tell you a couple of them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many remember the day you done that? Well, if that ain't good, let me give you not only one on salvation, how about security? Woo! I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How many's glad when God saved you, He didn't put you on probation? He didn't say, okay, you hold on a while, you be good, and I'll let you into my kingdom. No, 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 no. I'm kept by the power of God. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How many likes the shouts of the Bible? How about this one? The grass withers, and the flower fadeth. But the word of God shall abide forever. Amen. Man, I'm about to get blessed. It's a timely blessing in due season. Punctual. Some of you think God's late, but God ain't late. He's always on time. Help me, preacher. He's always on time. Punctual. He's personal. This good. He loves you personally. And He loves you personally. And everybody in this room. And you know what He does? He blesses you personally. By the way, I looked on the back row and I see Judy O'Brien. I just call her name out and say, hallelujah, you're here this morning. Woo! I'm going to preach a little stronger. Aren't you glad, Judy? Aren't you glad, people, that He's a personal God and He comes on in due time, that He's a faithful God and He'll never leave us nor forsake us? Hey, Jeremy, when you and your wife went through the valley of the shadow and you went through all that trouble, aren't you glad for a faithful God, an uplifting God, a wonderful God, a precious God, an on-time God? Woo! And talk about true benefits. Not only timely blessing, but true benefits. Earthly benefits. Look at me. How many of you right now can raise your hand and say, God has blessed me right here on this earth? Amen. Ain't too many of us went hungry lately. Hey, most of us got more than we had when we were children. Somebody help me. And listen, look at these earthly blessings. That God saved you, put you in a great church, loving on you every day, supplying your needs, gave you a job, gave you breath to work, gave you an education and mind enough to get it. Somebody ought to praise His name today. He's a worthy God. But also there's eternal blessings. Amen. Now, I'm around the corner. I'm quitting. But I got to give you this. How many's ever flew on an airplane? Raise your hand. Okay. How many flew on coach? How many's ever flew first class? By the way, I like that first class thing. I don't get to do it very often. But I remember a time I was coming back from Florida. And it was back in my heavy days. You said you're still heavy. You don't know what heavy was. That's 125 more pounds on me. And I was sitting in coach like this with two seat belts on because that one wouldn't fit me. Y'all know what I mean? And that coach, Jeff, it was terrible. And this sweet little stewardess came up to me and said, "Sir, you look uncomfortable." I said, "I am." She said, "Unbuckle them seatbelts and come with me." I said, "Where are we going?" She said, "You're going to the first class row." I said, "I didn't pay for it." She said, "Don't matter, it's on me." She put me up there and the seatbelt fit. And for long, they brought me a bat. They brought me a big old box, not them little peanuts, showy, of Reese's Pieces and Snickers and cookies about that big round. And then for long, they brought dinner and brought me a filet and a baked potato. And the best bread I ever ate in my life. And I tell y'all what, when I left that plane, I never kissed another woman in my life, but that woman, I did kiss her on the cheek, and I said, "Glory to God for you." And you know what I'm trying to say to you? There's a lot of you that are saved, and God wants you to be in the first class seat and not back in coach. And don't be wary. And well done. Last thing, I've done a serious prohibition. If you faint not. Let me ask you a question. How close are you to giving up? How close are you? You can't quit. You've got to be persistent. You've got to be passionate. And you got to have some perseverance. I believe when this is all over about this virus, a lot of us are going to be ashamed of ourselves for how we've reacted. Amen. I'm preaching good right here. Don't be weary. If you're listening by way of live stream, you're going through it. Maybe you're sick right now. Maybe you got cancer. Maybe you're going through something terrible. Don't be weary in well doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Bow your head with me. How many of you know that you know that you know you're saved? Raise your hand. God bless you. How many of you are not sure you're saved, but you want to go to that heaven I'm preaching about? Raise your hand. How many right now would be real honest and transparent? How many right now the devil's been on your back, beating on you, and trying to just get you to stop and be weary and get frustrated? And maybe you have. How many of you right now say, "Preacher Smith, I want to finish well. I want God to bless me." Just raise your hands and pray for me. All the half. "Preacher, I want to finish well. Preacher, I want God to bless my life. I don't want him to look at me at the finish line and say, 'Boy, quit.' No, no. Preacher, I want to finish well." Here's the invitation. Whether you're at home listening or in the room, if you're somewhat weary this morning, Oh, you've been beat around. Won't you come up around the altar and say, God, I'm going to renew my trust in you. Oh, it's you, Lord, that I need. And I'm going to stay with it. Stand with me. Stand with me. Maybe you'll just come out of your seat right now. Our Father, thank you. Thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, bless our people this evening or this morning. Lord, help them this morning. Folks at the altar already. God, touch, we pray in Jesus' name. For your sake, amen.